The government is not permitted to discriminate on the basis of religion under the U.S. Constitution. So why would one's religion make a prisoner in the custody of the police a candidate to be a possible police informant for possible terrorist activities? According to documents obtained by our partner, the New York Times, a team of New York City detectives has been going through the city jails looking for Muslim immigrants they can turn into informants. Their squad is known as the Citywide Debriefing Team. Linda Sarsour, Executive Director of the Arab American Association of New York, is with us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
What's your sense of this debriefing team and what it is they do?
The debriefing team is really engaging in what I believe is illegal behavior. What they're supposed to be doing in city jails is finding people who potentially have information on criminal activity or potentially terrorism. The fact that people's faith or national origin or ethnicity is what becomes their qualification to become an informant is quite troubling to me. Most of these people are people with minor violations. We've heard of people who've had disputes over parking tickets or possession of, you know, small amounts of marijuana or running red lights. I mean, this is the kind of people that they're after, and they have no information. They're just people that live in a particular community, that speak a particular language, and happen to be Muslim. And to use prisoners who are already in a vulnerable situation in that power dynamic where they're being coerced by the detainer, for me, is something that I'm quite concerned about.
Although coercion of prisoners is not illegal and happens all the time, what is it about the religious dimension that changes the game for you?
I think it's the fact that you're focusing on people's faith, and that's religious profiling, in our opinion. And it goes back to the much more problematic issues at the New York Police Department or practices they continue to engage in, mapping Muslim communities, infiltrating mosques, designating entire mosques as terrorism enterprises. This is just one of many practices that we hope the New York Police Department seizes, which are all religious and racial profiling.
Now, according to New York Times documents, quoting police officials, there have been about 220 interviews by this squad. The police say that they're not being interrogated, that they're just being questioned. These are beginning conversations. People can opt out of the conversations at any time. How does the religious element here make those kinds of conversations? And again, these people are awaiting trial, so they're inclined to be questioned for a whole variety of reasons in the jails.
The concern is when you're asking somebody, where do you pray? You know, who's your imam? Are you Sunni or Shia? I mean, is this something that the New York Police Department is engaging with other faith communities? We believe this is a singling out of Muslim immigrants. And what happens also is once these people are arraigned and out, they continue to be contacted by NYPD handlers. And the minute we hire attorneys to call these handlers, they disappear off the face of the earth. And again, the power dynamic, people don't want to be in trouble. People want to make this all go away. So they sometimes, you know, cooperate with the New York Police Department because of fear of retaliation, which is a real fear to have.
Have you spoken with individuals who reflect some of those emotional states, fear and a sense of coercion?
Absolutely. We have a client who come to my organization, which is a human service agency, and we have a referral service to a project at CUNY Law School where called CLEAR, where they actually will call their NYPD handlers and say, if you'd like to meet with my client, I need to be present. Let's make an appointment. And all of a sudden, you don't hear from that NYPD handler again. And people saying that, you know, they were threatened with their immigration status. People saying, I'm just going to make your life miserable. You don't want, you know, how many children do you have? Three daughters, and using people's family. I mean, this is real fear. And this is real. For me, it's real coercion. It's interrogation. It's not just, you know, again, asking someone, would you like to work for the police department?
What do you think is permissible in a jail setting? Of questioning an individual who police have a reasonable suspicion is part of a community where certain things have happened that are of legitimate concern to law enforcement and national security, you know, officials.
I think the New York Police Department looks at the entire Muslim community as a suspect community. So that's why you see them going and fishing out all Muslim immigrants within the prison system. I think the way you do it is that if you have someone who's been arrested on, you know, gun running or someone who's been part of some sort of drug cartel or drug dealing, that's the person that you ask them, who else do you know? Who else have you been working with? Who else can you turn in? But if you're a Muslim immigrant who's been caught on, you know, a parking ticket or you happen to have an argument with an officer, I don't see how asking someone where they pray and what community they come from has anything to do with them trying to find information about terrorism. That's the concern here.
Although I would say, and the NYPD would say this, that every single one of the 9/11 hijackers had no criminal record.
Well, all the 9/11 hijackers were not Americans and not legal permanent residents in the United States, or were not even residing here in the United States. So again, I wouldn't take 19 hijackers who are Muslim and have to use that as the bar of how you deal with those living here in our country. And again, back to their criminal records of the people that they're phishing within the prisons and the jailhouses. Again, these are people most often with minor fractions and are being, you know, I believe, coerced against their will. And the NYPD might say, yeah, they can opt out whenever they feel like it. But when you're a person that's trying to get back to your family and you want to get out of this problem that you're in, and you have a police officer or a detective telling you, I'm going to make your life miserable, you need to do this, I don't think that's the way that you counter terrorism.
You know, Linda, I can hear in your voice, and it's true for Americans in different capacities, but the whole 9/11 experience, I mean, we're well past a decade since that. This has been a real cultural trauma for your community.
Our community, to be honest with you, has been double trauma by this, first as New Yorkers, but also having to take the brunt of the government policies that have continued to target our community, have continued to blanket us as all suspects of terrorism, even to the point where the police department will say, we're trying to find terrorists before they become terrorists. Saying things like having a beard, stop smoking, stop wearing hip hop clothing, taking more frequent breaks during work time to pray, going to frequenting mosques is precursors for terrorism. So being religious to the New York Police Department and the FBI and other law enforcement agencies means that we have the potential to all become terrorists. And that's very concerning.
Have you ever heard a NYPD official say that more frequent praying is a precursor to terrorism? Or are those your words?
Those are actually words from a report or analysis that came out of the New York Police Department in 2007 called Radicalization in the West, the Homegrown Threat. And in there, it talks about the four levels of terrorism, or the four, I guess, steps to what they believe is radicalization or jihad. And in there, you will read very normal things that Muslims do are precursors to terrorism, or what they would believe are red flags that need to be followed.
Linda Sarsour is the executive director of the Arab American Association of New York. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.